Good morning. This morning's passage comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen.
God is good, and all the time. I should have Val come up and do that. You're good at it, man. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and were called according to his purpose. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That passage comes out of the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. It's familiar to many, but it becomes kind of a foundation for us, and especially as we kind of look at today, as we wrap up this story of Ruth we've been in for the last month or so, to be able to kind of bring it to its conclusion. And everybody loves a happy ending, don't we? I mean, that's why Hallmark Channel exists. Just for those who don't mind the same story told over and over again, so long as it ends happy. It's all that really matters. It can be a Christmas movie. It could be a summertime movie. It could be a weekend at the coast movie. It can be anything. It could be almost anything. If it's Hallmark, it's going to have that happy ending. But as we love a happy ending, Ruth, the story of Ruth, certainly delivers that, doesn't it? You know, the story begins, and I think it doesn't make sense if we don't take the story and look at it as a whole. We read it today. Thank you, Jen, for reading the conclusion of how this story comes to its ending. Because at the beginning of the story, you would have never imagined, had you not heard the story, you would have never imagined it was going to come to this kind of an end. We watched throughout that first chapter as the family of Naomi suffered unimaginable grief, as that intense despair enveloped her, as she came to the end of her rope, even in chapter 1, verse 20, where she says, "Don't even call me Naomi anymore." Naomi in Hebrew means pleasant. Isn't that a beautiful name? Can you imagine? What must mom and dad have been thinking when they gave her that name when she was born? She's pleasant. But she says, "No longer call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Mara means bitter. Gone to a place of deep darkness, anger with God, disillusionment with life. The unfairness of life has come in such a heavy load to her that she says, "Don't call me pleasant anymore, because I'm not." This is the woman, Naomi, at the beginning, at the outset, who finds her life in this kind of a train wreck. And we've talked about that. I won't go back into all the backstory here. But yet, in the midst of her anguish, we also see, as the story begins to unfold, that there is amazing care extended and inclusion of love given all amongst all the protagonists of the story, a sacrificial kindness that somehow begins to push back against the tide of this overwhelming darkness, this bitterness, this anger, this upset about how things are. And we are encouraged to kind of follow that pattern of that sacrificial kindness. But we also see, and this is one of those beauties of a narrative, a Hebrew narrative, is that we see this on the surface of the story, but we also recognize, don't we, that underneath the surface of the story, that the goodness of God, even in the midst of dark times, continues to be at work. Even when it doesn't seem to be working, even when it is not discernible, God continues to be at work, and he will reveal his goodness in his timing. This is part of what makes Ruth and the story of Ruth so engaging, even for us today. As you look at it in the biblical terms, it really is an example of what we all proclaim when we hear that 23rd Psalm, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the deepest and darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil. Why? Anyone remember why? Because thou art with me. Because the Lord is with you. And this Psalm 23 wasn't written yet. That was a few generations later. But we see that in the story of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, that this is the same thing, that as we begin to walk through these deep and dark valleys, there is something that we can hold on to. People. So the story of Ruth really is about ordinary people. There's nothing extraordinary about Naomi. There's nothing really remarkable about Ruth. He's a good guy, but you know, there's lots of good guys. Boaz is good, but what makes them so exceptional? It's that they do the small things that we may think are inconsequential. But in God's economy, when we do the right things, when we stay rooted in him, when we stay our connection and our faith grounded in him, then when we continue to take that next right step, continue to do that next little thing, continue to extend that next little bit of mercy, continue to offer that unexpected grace, continue to give that little bit extra kindness to that person who is, you didn't know it, but they were in need of that kindness on that day. We participate with the Holy Spirit in making the world a more livable place. The message of Ruth, I started this off at the beginning of the series, says the message of Ruth is going to be this. It's going to be for all of us ordinary folks, that ordinary people can live with exceptional integrity, and that's what we see. Integrity and faithfulness in a way that can overcome life's challenges. And not just for us to overcome, but change the world around us by doing so. And that's what the message of Ruth is about. People ask me, I've read the story of Ruth. It's a short little story. It's a weird little story. I don't understand it. Why is it even in the Bible? It's because this is the message that we as God's children need to hear. And so today, we wrap it up. I do want to get to the conclusion here because this is beautiful. It is the happy ending. It's the Hollywood happy ending that we all probably were hoping for, but we didn't dream could ever actually happen. Boaz does what is right. We left it at a cliffhanger last week. Could have purchased the property, and the other guardian redeemer who could have claimed the property and could have purchased the property and taken Ruth on chooses not to. It's too risky for him. And so he hands off his sandal. And for those who weren't here last week, you're saying, what? Did I misunderstand that? No. That was the way of exchanging, making it valid in the public square. There was an exchange of sandals. It's funny. Go ahead. You know, either read it yourself or hop in a time machine and go back 4,000 years. Either way, it'll work. The community celebrates because now Boaz has done what is right. He has accepted his role now as a guardian redeemer. He takes Ruth as his wife, and everyone begins to celebrate. That there has now been hope restored for this family, for this woman, Naomi, who they all knew and they all cared for. And we see that God is at work, even in her bleakest times. It goes through, and we had Jen read all of it for us today. And there's stuff again that we're saying, huh, What's all this? May you be like Rachel and Leah, and what's that about? Again, this is all very Old Testament-y, saying these are the wives of Israel, out of whom come the 12 tribes of Israel. And so these are wonderful blessings being bestowed. But again, for us in our modern day, they don't seem to make much sense. You know, may you be like may he be like Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah. And we're all going, more names, Old Testament people we don't know. But again, it's part of the story of God's faithfulness. They're recognizing it, looking backwards in how God had been faithful before, recognizing that that same God who was faithful before is being faithful yet again in their day. An invitation to us to believe that that same God will continue to be faithful to us in our day. They are married. She conceives. And this is a little quirky. I'll just say this is a little quirky because remember she had been married before. She'd been married to one of Naomi's sons, and maybe as long as 10 years, there had been no conception. But here she is. She conceives, and she gives birth to a son, Obed. I love that name. I mean, it's almost as good as Daniel. Is Daniel awake? Oh, he's, you know what? I do that to him every week. I put him to sleep. What is it about pastor's voice that does that to people? I will say this, little Obed was born and everyone is filled with hope. If you're feeling low on your hope meter today, when church is over, go up and talk to Danny and say, hey, Danny, can I see little Daniel? Because he will make your hope meter go up again. There's something about a little baby that does that. There's something about a little baby that does that. Every little baby that does that. But there was something special about this little baby, Obed. And so everyone celebrates. We often get stuck in a rut, in a routine, in a pattern of thinking, not unlike how Naomi was in chapter 1. We get into this wrong thinking where we think that we are stuck in things aren't the way I want them to be. And because they're not the way I want them to be, we begin to fall into the trap of believing that they will never be, the situation can never change. And we get stuck in that routine where we get beaten down, where we become less pleasant, that we become more bitter, and that we begin to fall into that trap of thinking that things are bad and that's just how they're always going to be. There's no more reason for hope. Things in my life have gone terribly wrong, and I don't see how they can ever be changed. And if you're in that place, again, I invite you to go and take a look at little Daniel or any other little baby. And you'll see there is reason for hope. Now notice here in Ruth at the close that the community gathers around, the women of the community gather around Naomi. And they say this, they say, praise be to the Lord who has this day not left you, Naomi, without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. And again, for those who don't know about guardian redeemers and what that is, I'm sorry, that was a week or two ago. But what they are saying is that they are going to give thanks on this day, okay? So we're going to see there's a thanksgiving aspect to this story at the conclusion. That is to begin to wipe away some of the grief of our past and some of our despair that lingers. Because in the giving thanks for what God has done, and what has he done? He has restored hope. Now, this is a hard thing for a lot of us because despair becomes very sticky and we get hurt and our hearts begin to get hardened. But in this story, the guardian redeemer was the element of hope for them. And God has done that. He has given you a reason to hope. And then this last part here, I think this is fun. May he, speaking of the guardian redeemer, or maybe because speaking of Obed, I don't know. I'm not sure who the he is here. May he become famous throughout Israel. So what is now, though it's cool, the story is not over yet. And I think we need to hold on to that kind of thankfulness that we begin to say, the story is not over yet. It doesn't mean the story is all happy ending right now, but it means that God has you. God is good all the time. That there is a hope that we can hold on to as well. And we access that hope when we begin to break the chains of despair by participating in giving thanks. That's why Thanksgiving is so important for us. Even if it's only one day, it reminds us that we have reasons to be thankful all the time. You know, the New Testament talks about the importance of giving thanks, and it gives us an almost an impossible command. Have you heard this one? It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. And we often think that we can't do that one, can we? And it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but it says give thanks in all circumstances. How can we give thanks even in the midst of bad circumstances? It's because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. See, Val, you didn't know I was going to be having this as my theme. God is good, isn't he? All the time. That's right. Because that becomes the heart then of the story of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. That becomes the heart of yours and my story as well. That if we can continue to do that, to give thanks in all circumstances, even in the midst of the bad circumstances, continue to find that I can be thankful for God and Jesus, for food, for family, for life, and for my church family. Way to go. Wyatt, he is my hero this week. Because it just reminds us that we can all find something. Maybe not all five of those are in place at any one time. Maybe sometimes some of those are plucked from us. But there are still going to be reasons that we have to be thankful in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances to give thanks. And as we give thanks, that thanks for his goodness, even in the midst of difficulty or dark times, the darkness begins to lose some of its power. It is an amazing thing what this thing called Thanksgiving can do for us. And we see it again on display here, but we're reminded to come into his presence and to give him thanks. To practice being thankful. To intentionally set apart time. To simply say, I want to take time to count my blessings. And even if I don't have as many blessings as I had the day before, there are still reasons that I can be thankful. Again, back to Romans 8:28, which is where we started. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's why we can be thankful. That even if we can't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it, we know he is at work. Even in the midst of the darkness, we know he is still with us, and that his rod and his staff, they give us comfort, even in the midst of that dark valley. Now, it's hard to imagine how deep that valley may have been for her, but maybe it's not so hard to imagine. A lot of us walk through deep and dark valleys, and we're invited to find him there with us. Now, there's one last piece I want to just touch on, because this is kind of a cool piece that maybe you heard when Jennifer read it for us today. Maybe you didn't. We didn't read all the way to the conclusion. I encourage you to do so. But it talked about this little boy, Obed, who would, again, himself one day, later down the road, would have kids of his own, including a son named Jesse. Jesse would also have children of his own, eventually, including one little boy named David. Now, this little boy David, son of Jesse, grandson of Obed? Yeah, grandson of Obed, would become King David, the one that we all know about. And so now we say, oh, so that's why we get this story. Ordinary people who actually got some notoriety later, but it wasn't because of Boaz or Ruth, or was it? Was it the ordinary people that God was able to work through? Through extraordinary kindness, through all kinds of goodness, that somehow they become the great grandparents of King David. And if you have noticed, the end of the story of Ruth has a little genealogy, and we all love genealogies, right? Start with Perez. Oh, yeah, there's Perez. He has a son, and he begets somebody else, and he begats somebody else, and they beget this, and all the rest. All the way down to we get to Obed, and Jesse, and David. That same line comes up again later in the Bible in Matthew 1. This is how Matthew 1 begins. Matthew 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus. And again, this is a weird way to start a book, but this is how Matthew did it. Genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, is the son of David, who is the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, and it goes on down the line. And eventually, even in the story of Jesus, we see that here we have Boaz, who was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. So that even, it's not that King David had great grandparents, Ruth and Boaz. But that Ruth and Boaz become part of the Jesus story for us. There's something amazing to me when you think about that, that what is it about this that they could never see or even imagine? That by just remaining faithful with what God gave them to be faithful for, their story was not over. Imagine how dark it may seem with whatever situation you're walking through right now. You know, for all the parents who are like pulling their hair out with their little kids because their kids are making them crazy, or all the parents who's got grown kids who are pulling their hair out because kids are making them crazy. There were probably times when little Obed did that to mom and dad as well. But they couldn't see what God had in store down the road. And there was something remarkable going on that they would never see. But they were a part of something bigger simply by being faithful with what God gave to them. You know, we are all invited, and I think that's part of the message of the story as well, is that do your best in the little things of life. Make that life of that person near you better because you extend that kind of kindness, care, and inclusion to them, that you open the door for someone who's an outsider to bring them in to become part of the family of God, that you do those things, that you continue to wrestle and wait and pray for all those things, maybe never seeing the conclusion of your story because it may be a generation or two down the road, but not to give up hope and to remain faithful in the midst because God is good all the time. Father, I thank you for this story. And I thank you for the way this story interacts with our stories. Father, I thank you for the opportunities we have to bring our bitterness to you, that you might begin to draw that pleasant out of us yet again. I thank you, God, for even in the midst of those dark moments, that we can hold on to your presence and your goodness and your purposes even for us. So bless this day, Father, as we begin to look past the circumstance that we may be challenged by today, to look through that thing and be able to continue to move our feet forward, trusting you that the story that we can now see is not yet complete, and trusting you with what you have in mind for the story you're writing in us. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.